Well, good evening, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer tonight. Father, we so thank you. We thank you. We're still kind of beaming over the memories a little bit of what you've done in this nation for 250 years and the blessings that you've bestowed and just your grace and your mercy enduring forever, new every morning. And here we are tonight, once again, gathering with your word open and in writing in front of us. And as we see the final days of David's reign in Israel, and we see his heart, such a heart to worship you, such a heart to praise you, such a heart to see everything being set up in this temple that he wanted to build for you more than anything else. And that's his whole focus now at this last part of his life. And we read here in the scriptures last week's actually, David was old and full of years, and we know he now will be tonight as we end up the First Chronicles that he is going to be with you. He's going to die. The reign will end. But we have these fabulous plans of his organization for the temple and providing in abundance the materials and the labor and the schedules and the planning. And so we're going to be immersed in some of that planning for three or four chapters. And then a couple of closing chapters there as well. So guide us now as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to get right into reading the text. Most of tonight will be text reading because most of these divisions and so forth tend to be somewhat repetitive. We'll have 24 courses of this, 12 courses of that, but we have miraculously so recorded a name associated in every one of these divisions, which is really important when you think that God takes notice of names, and this is so well organized that David was given this organization to lay out all of these things before he took his last breath. He couldn't build the temple because of blood on his hands, and we'll see tonight where he announces Solomon is the son that God has chosen to build the temple, but he was given the ability to plan it and to provide for it. So as we get into this, we had the division of the Levites last time in chapter 23. And now tonight in chapter 24, we have the divisions of that special group of Levites that were born from Aaron. Aaron is a high priest. So these now are all priests under the sons of Aaron. To be a priest, you had to prove the genealogy back to Aaron. And so the sons of Aaron were four: Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And we know Nadab and Abihu died because of they profaned fire. And so there's only two that remain now. That's Eleazar and Ithamar. But we will see here, verse 2, and Nadab and Abihu died before their fathers and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. Then David with Zadok, the sons of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their sons, their father's house, and 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar. So divided proportionally to the number of priests there were, really. Thus they were divided by lot, one group as another, for there were officials of the sanctuary and of the house of God from the sons of Eleazar and from the sons of Ithamar. So the sons of Aaron are very important here in this organization as being part of the officials of all that's going on in the temple, will go on in the temple. Of course, the temple isn't built yet, it will be shortly. And then this is what will be happening with them in charge of these various things. And verse 6, the scribe Shemaiah, the son of Nethanel. We see so many son of, and that identifies which one it is, because there might be a lot of Shemaiahs around. Well, this is the one that's the son of Nethanel. One of the Levites wrote them down before the king. So this is all in writing. David has it put into writing even before he passes on. The leaders, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Ithamar. Now, the first lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jedaiah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Serorim, the fifth to Malkiah, and the sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abiah. Now, we want to pause at Abia just a moment because Abia shows up in the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, talking about John the Baptist. And we read, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of what? Of the division of Abia. So I think this is important to understand. Now, we know that David preceded Christ by about 1,000 years. So these divisions were put into writing 1,000 years before Christ, and here they're being used at the time of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Still exactly those same courses. And here's the eighth course to Abia mentioned there in John the Baptist's father. So that was the eighth. Now, in the ninth, it was Jeshua, the 10th to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, and the 12th to Jakim, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jezebeab, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Immer, the 17th to Hezir, the 18th to Happizezez. I think that's a tongue twister there, isn't it? Happy is Zez. If you got to get Z's, you can say Z's, or you could got that one right. The 19th to Pethaniah, the 20th to Jehezekel, the 21st to Jachin, the 22nd to Jamul, the 23rd to Delaiah, the 24th to Maaziah. This was the schedule of their service for coming into the house of the Lord according to their ordinance by the hand of Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. So we already have given you an example of that in John the Baptist's father Zacharias, when he was called as his priest, as into that eighth division, he had to go in for that period of time and serve, and he did. And it popped up there 2,000 years later as an example of that. Verse 20, and the rest of the sons of Levi, the sons of Amram, of course, we know who that is. That's the father of Moses. Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jediah, concerning Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Ishiah, of the Izharites, Shelemoth, of the sons of Shelemoth, Yahath, of the sons of Hebron. We know where Hebron is. That city is a main city, important city. Jeriah was the first, Amariah the second, Jahaziel the third, and Jokameam the fourth. The sons of Uziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shemir, the brother of Micah, Ishiah, of the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah. So bear with me if I don't pronounce these names correctly. It's about the best I can do. I'm not Jewish, so I can't pronounce them correctly, but anglicize them to a degree. Now we get into the sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi, of the son of Jahaziah, Beno. The sons of Merari by Jahaziah were Beno, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri of Mahli. Eleazar, who had no sons, of Kish, the son of Jish, of Kish, the son of Kish, Jeramiel, also the sons of Mushi, were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their fathers' houses. These also cast lots, just as their brothers, the sons of Aaron, did in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech. Notice, they're casting lots for their order of they're going to fit into these plans, and they even did it in the presence of King David. So he's still alive at this point, but he will be passing very soon. But right up until the end, here he's so busy, it's amazing that God would strengthen him and enable him to have such a clear mind and all that right up until the end, right? Much like Moses. You know, Moses was could see and hear and all right till the end, and then the Lord took him. Ministry was over, he's out of here. Your ministry is over, my ministry is over, we're out of here. And hopefully he'll keep us sharp and able to hear, see, and think until that time. But we see here that was the case with King David. King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and the Levites, the chief fathers, did it just as their younger brethren. Now, we have a very important section in here to me is the musicians. Notice David is so locked in on praising and worshiping the Lord. His plans are amazing for to make sure there's going to be music every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're going to be assigned by name to these various functions of making sure that happens. So we read in chapter 25, verse 1, moreover, David and the captain of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun, who should notice this word, prophesy. That's an amazing word. Prophesy what with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. Now, you might say, well, how in the world do you prophesy with instruments? They don't talk. I thought prophecy was in writing. Well, it usually is in writing, but prophecy means a supernatural revelation of something that's pointing us to God or to something that God's going to do. And so this is what he is saying is to be done here with these instruments. They should prophesy, honoring, knowing it's from the Lord, with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. I find that interesting. And notice the skillfulness involved, and the number of the skilled men performing their service was, and he's going to list now, I think, 288 skilled men. Now, he's set aside 4,000 to do this work, but he's specifically pointing out 288 that are skilled. So they, now everybody, I think, in doing the Lord's work always gets a little bit better as longer you do it because of being open to even further improvement, other getting the flaws removed, the practice, and so forth. But here, these are already skilled men performing their service. Of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asherelah. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, their dad, who prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshishiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mathathiah, six, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with what? With a harp. Here Jeduthun is a harp player, prophesying, pointing people to the Lord, with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. There it is, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Oh, we need to do that, don't we? We want to do that out of our love in response to his love for us. And then of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shapuel, Jerimoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathah, Gedalti, Romamtiezer, and Joshbekashah, Malathi, Hathir, and Mahaziath. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, or the king's counselor, in the words of God, to exalt his horn. Notice now, he is speaking those words of God, what? To exalt his horn, or in other words, to magnify the Lord. Do your comments magnify the Lord? Do what I would, how much of what I speak magnifies him or exalts him? That's a good question for me to think about. But here it says to magnify or exalt his horn or his horn or his position. For God gave Heman 14 sons, wow, and 3 daughters. Now, if you're the great singer, it's good to have 14 sons because probably all of those can sing, or at least most of them anyway. He gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord. Boy, that's a singing family, isn't it? With cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under, now look, they're directly under authority of the king. These are worship leaders. High time, big time, right? Under the authority of the king. So the number of them, with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. Now, we have 4,000 here, so we've got about 3,700, I guess, that are talented, but they're not really called skillful totally yet. But anyway, here the says all who were skillful. I don't know if that means there weren't more, but anyway, all of these are skillful. So I ask myself this question as I look at 24 divisions of 12 men each to worship. Think of that. 24 divisions, 12 men each, day and night, 24/7. What an emphasis on performing worship and praise. How important is worship to me? How important is worship to you? Worship before the Lord. How much do you look forward to it? How much do you enjoy it? How much do you appreciate it? How much do you appreciate that opportunity of worshiping and worshiping with the body of Christ as an example as well? Another awesome opportunity that we have. And do I primarily look at worship as how much I can get out of it, or is that do I realize the opportunity that it is to praise and thank my Lord? Oh, wow. And I think of David, how he is just so given over to the importance of this, at the very end of his life. I think that is very speaks very loudly to me, doesn't it? And hopefully to you as well. Verse 8, and they cast lots for their duty, the small as well as the great, the teacher with the student. They divided them by casting the lots into these 24 divisions or courses or shifts, and they're given to us now in the rest of the chapter here. The first lot for Asaph came out for Joseph, the second for Gedaliah, him with his brethren and sons, 12. The third for Zakur, his sons and his brothers, 12. Remember, we have all these courses of 12 apiece. The fourth for Yisri, his sons and his brethren, 12. The fifth for Nethaniah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The sixth for Bukiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The seventh for Yeshaharlah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The eighth for Jeshahiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The ninth for Mattaniah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The tenth for Shemaiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The eleventh for Azarel, his sons and his brethren, 12. The twelfth for Hashabiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 13th for Shubael, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 14th for Mattathiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 15th for Yeremoth, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 16th for Hananiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 17th for Jashabekasha, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 18th for Hanani, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 19th for Malathi, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 20th for Eliathah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 21st for Hathir, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 22nd for Gidalti, his sons and his brethren, 12. And the 23rd for Mahazioth, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 24th for Romamti Ezer, his son and his brethren, 12. So we've had that phrase, his son and his brethren, 12. So I guess you've got that in your mind by now, right? We're talking about 12 in each division here. It's beautiful. Now we go to the gatekeepers. These are not musicians, but these are very important. And this is not just some guy opening and closing the gate. He does that, but what he really is a watchman. He really is a security detail. Now, we know how important security is today, don't we? Very, very important. And you do not want to be in a service basically without some security around. I mean, it just makes sense. But here they were. Now we're going to have a division. Now we also had 4,000 of these set aside, 4,000 musicians and 4,000 gatekeepers. So very, very important. Remember, we had 38,000 total of Levites when we were doing this division starting last week. So here are the gatekeepers from the family of Korah. Concerning the division of the gatekeepers of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Korah, of the sons of Asaph, of the sons of Meshemaiah, of Zechariah, the firstborn, Jediel, the second, Zebadiah, the third, Jothniel, the fourth, Elam, the fifth, Jehohanan, the sixth, Eliehoenai, the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obededom were Shemaiah, the firstborn, Jehozabad, the second, Joah, the third, Sakar, the fourth, Nethanan, the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peuethai the eighth, where God blessed him. I love it. We have all these names, and they're going to throw this little phrase in here at times. Why they point that out, only God knows, but it says here, for God blessed him. Also to Shemaiah, his sons, who were sons born who governed their father's houses. Why? Because they were men of great ability. Hey, that's great. The sons of Shemaiah were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brother Elihu and Semaiah were able men. All these were of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren. Able men with strength for the work. So we had able men, and now we have able men again with strength for the work. 62 of Obed-Edom and Meshelemiah had sons and brethren, 18 able men. Also, Hosah of the children of Merari had sons. Shimri the first, for though he was not the firstborn, his father made him first. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth, all the sons and brethren of Hosah were 13. Among these were the divisions of the gatekeepers, among the chief men, having duties just like their brethren to serve in the house of the Lord. So you see here a lot of big families. You see 14 sons, and here's 13 sons, and so I imagine most of these are in the same family, although they could maybe be in just the general family. I'm not sure. We do know the son of, we'll see pretty soon, the son of Moses. Well, the son of Moses, that's 500 years earlier, so it's not that son in Hebrew just means progenitor of, or in that genealogy, it doesn't mean the first generation son. We know that. We keep running into that in the text. They were to all these people, they were to minister in the house of the Lord, in the maintenance, in superintending the watches, and watching over things that everything was done properly. Verse 13, and they cast lot for each gate, the small as well as the great, according to their father's house. So the gates, it was done by lot. Some were the big gates, some were smaller gates, but they cast the service for each of those by lots. And these gatekeepers would then stand and guard the gates. Verse 14, the lot for the east gate fell to Shelemiah. They cast lots for his son Zechariah, a wise counselor. Notice that. Here, this gatekeeper gets called out as a wise counselor. And his lot came out for the north gate, to Obededom, the south gate, and to his sons, the storehouse. So that would be an important position if you were over the storehouse, because think of all the wealth and so forth that was stored there, and you'd have to make sure that there was no thievery, or nobody was taking it. To Shupim and Hoshaah, the lot came out for the west gate with the Shalaketh gate on the ascending highway, watchman opposite watchman. On the east were six Levites, on the north four each day, on the south four each day, and for the storehouse two by two. As for the parbor, and nobody really knows what that means, it's possibly a courtyard extending westward on the west. But as for the parbar on the west, there were four on the highway and two at the parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari. Now we have some other officials named here, treasurers and other officials of the Levites. Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God. Wow, that's a big one. And over the treasuries of the dedicated things. Remember when David would get these silver and gold and all that, and capture that from the victories in battle, they would dedicate those things to the Lord, and then they would store them up for the temple to be built, which is now right around the corner. The sons of La'adan, the descendants of the Gershonites of La'adan, heads of their father's houses of La'adan, the Gershonite, Yehieli. The sons of Yehieli, Zetham, and Joel, his brother, were over all the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites. Shebuel, the son of Gershom, there it is, the son of Moses. So this is a great, 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 500 greats of sons from the time of Moses. But Gershom, the son of Moses, was overseer of the treasuries, and his brethren by Eleazar were Rehabiah, his son, Jezahiah, his son, Yoram, his son, Zikri, his son, and Shelomith, his son. This Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasuries of the dedicated thing, the spoils from battles and so forth, which King David and the heads of the father's houses, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the army had dedicated. So these are really important positions here. This is, these are like billions of dollars they're over watching over here in storage, for example, here in this particular one. Verse 27, some of the spoils won in battle, they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord, and all that Samuel the seer, Saul, first king, son of Kish, Abner, his general, Ner, and then Joab, the general of the army, the son of Zeruiah, had dedicated. Every dedicated thing was under the hand of Shelomith and his brethren. Of the Izharites, Shenaniah and his sons performed duties as officials and judges. So here we have part of the judiciary coming down, the officials and judges to be over Israel. Listen, this is over all the land, because it's what? Over Israel outside Jerusalem. So there's a second group here for just in the Jerusalem, but this is for the ones all over the nation. Of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brethren, 1,700 able men, had the oversight of Israel on the west side of the Jordan. That's where most of the Israel was. But there's two and a half tribes on the east side as well, west side of the Jordan, for all the business of the Lord and the service of the king. Among the Hebronites, Yeriah was head of the Hebronites according to his genealogy of the fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought. Now notice, 40th year. How many years did David reign? 40. This is the last year. This is it. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought. So they're putting this all together. God is keeping him alive long enough to get all this organization together and the names put in and everything else, and then God's going to take him home, it looks to me like. Amazing. Shenaniah and his sons performed duties as officials and judges over Israel outside Jerusalem. They were sought, and there were found among them capable men at Jazer of Gilead, and his brethren were 2,700 able men, rather 200,000 able men. Heads of the fathers' houses, whom King David made official over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. So that's on the east side of the Jordan, for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the kings. Now we'll have the military divided up. Chapter 27. And the children of Israel, according to their number, the heads of fathers' houses, the captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers served the king in every manner of the military divisions. Notice this is interesting how they divided up. These divisions came in and went out month by month, all through the months of the year, each division having 24,000. So you would have a new army every month of 24,000 men. Now, on one hand, you would think, my, how do you handle that? How do you handle training? They're there for a month and they're not there next time. They aren't trained at all, are they? They're just there. Well, the other side of that is these men are maintaining their full career. If they're farmers or whatever, they got 11 months a year to farm and they go serve for a month. And then maybe they don't even have every year because they may have some other divisions here too. But here, this is what it was month by month throughout all the months of the year, each division having 24,000. Over the first division for the first month was Jashobeam, the son of Zabdiel, and his division were 24,000. He was of the children of Perez and the chief of all the captains. He's the chief of all the captains of the army for the first month. So they have that, the chief of over all things every month, a different one. Over the division of the second month was Dodai, an Ahohite. Of the division, Mikloth also was the leader, and his division were 24,000. Third captain of the army for the third month was Benaniah. We've had him before. In his division were 24,000. The third captain of the army for the third, I read that third was Benaniah, who was mighty among the 30. Remember, he was one of David's 30 mighty men, and it was over the 30, and his division was Amizabad, his son. The fourth captain for the fourth month was Asahel. Here's a brother of Joab, that's a nephew of David, and Zebadiah, his son after him, in his division were 24,000. The fifth captain for the fifth month was Shamhut, the Israelite, in his division were 24,000. The sixth captain for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, in his division were 24,000. The seventh captain for the seventh month was Helez, the Pelonite, of the children of Ephraim, and his division were 24,000. The eighth captain for the eighth month was Shibakai, the Hushanite, or the Hushanite of the Zarhites, and his division were 24,000. The ninth captain for the ninth month was Abiezer, the Anathite of the Benjamites, and his division were 24,000. The tenth captain for the tenth month was Maharai, the Netophathite of the Zarhites, and his division were 24,000. The 11th captain for the 11th month was Benaiah. There he is again. The Peronathites is another one. It's a different one. They're now the Peronathite of the children of Ephraim, and his division were 24,000. The 12th captain for the 12th month was Heldai, the Netophathite of Othniel, and his division were 24,000. So there's the 12 months with a captain for each month, and each had 24,000 men. That was their military at that point. Leaders, now remember, they were at peace. They defeated all their enemies. So during Solomon's reign now, there pretty much won't be any wars going on because God is protecting them. And then as they turn from the Lord again, then battles will start again. But not in really Solomon's reign, particularly in the first part of his reign, there was peace. Verse 16, furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the officer over the Reubenites was Eleazar, the son of Zichri, over the Simeonites, another tribe, Shephatiah, the son of Maacah, over the Levites, Hashabiah, the son of Kemuel, over the Aaronites, Zadok, over Judah, another tribe, Elihu, one of David's brothers, Issachar, Omri, the son of Michal, over Zebulun. These are all different tribes, as you know. Ishmaiah, the son of Obadiah, over Naphtali. Yeremoth, the son of Azrael, over the children of Ephraim. Hoshea, the son of Azaziah, over the half tribe of Manasseh. Joel, the son of Pedaiah, over the half tribe of Manasseh in Gilead. Remember, Manasseh was divided, half on the east side, half on the rest, west side of the Jordan. Iddo, the son of Zechariah, over Benjamin. Jaaziel, the son of Abner, over Dan. Azarel, the son of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. But David did not take the number of those 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would multiply Israel like the stars of the heaven. Now we get to back to the census reflected here briefly. Joab, the general, the son of Zeruiah, began a census, but he did not finish, for wrath came upon Israel because of this census, nor was the number recorded in the account of the Chronicles of King David. And Azmaveth, the son of Adiel, was over the king's treasuries, and Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah, was over the storehouses where the grains were brought in and so forth in the field, in the cities, in the villages, and in the fortresses. Tremendous organization by David. And with all of these huge, it was quite a country at that point. A lot of activity, you got to have a lot of organization. And David did it. God had him do it. Esri, the son of Chelub, was over all those who did the work of the field for tilling the ground. And Shammai, the Ramathite, was over the vineyards. Zabdi, the Shiphite, was over the produce of the vineyards for the supply of wine. Baha-Hanan, the Gederite, was over the olive trees and the sycamore trees, or the fig trees, that were in the lowlands. And Joash was over the store of oil, olive oil. And Shatrai, the Sharonite, was over the herds that fed in Sharon. And Shaphat, the son of Adlai, was over the herds who were in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was over the camels. Jedidiah, the Marathite, was over the donkeys. And Yaziz, the Hagarite, was over the flocks. All these were officials over David, King David's properties. Now notice, King David had much property individually, and these men were over the various parts of that, as it says here. Also, Jehonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, a scribe, and Jehiel, the son of Hakmoni, was the king's sons. Ahithophel, that's a familiar name, isn't it? Was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. After Ahithophel was Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, then Abiathar, who also became a counselor, and the general of the king's army, as we know, was Joab. Of course, we remember Ahithophel, who is the grandfather of Bathsheba, so mad at David for what he did, he could never get over that, and he ended up upset and went and committed suicide, as we know. Now, chapter 28, we have David's instruction or charge to Israel. Now, David assembled. This is his last public assembly because this is his last year in reign. He's dying soon. So he basically is calling everybody together, it would seem, at Jerusalem, all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the division who served the king, the captain over thousands and captains over hundreds and stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of the men, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. So he's getting everybody together, kind of the last hurrah, so to speak, of a dying king has reigned 40 years. Many of them he's reigned their whole lifetime. But here he's at the end of the reign. Verse 2, then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, for a place for God to be in, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me,'" I love that, "'chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever.'" Wow. "For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel." Oh my, what a beautiful statement that is. Now we know that Judah was prophesied in Genesis 49:10, when Jacob prophesied over his sons, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." So here we see now God giving the instruction, basically on down through this prophecy, that it will be through the tribe of Judah that the Messiah will come. David says, as part of the line of the tribe of Judah, that he's not the lion, but it'll come through him. "The Lord was pleased with me. He liked me over my brothers." Now, that's just God's sovereign choice. Now, think of you and think of me who are saved. The wonderful thing is, God has chosen us, He's chosen each of us. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Is that true in your life? Are you bearing fruit? If you are, I know it'll remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Wow. And then, as I thought, we thought of this nation, this much of our nation's weekend here. Blessed is the nation, Psalm 33:12, had David had penned. But here, blessed is the nation whose what? God is who? Is Yahweh. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. Not blessed is the nation whose God is Allah or whose God is Hindu or Buddha or anybody else. It's Yahweh. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. All of those who are following that are chosen as inheritance. He chose Israel that way. He chose you and I that way. Adopted us in. So I wrote down, wow, God chose me. Or you might say, wow, God chose me. As David said five times earlier, who am I? Isn't that true? Who am I? Aren't we just nothing, but he chose us? Oh, how spectacularly vivid and special this is to humbly recognize that God chose me. And when I say that, I'm speaking for all of us, obviously. And that he chose you. Am I praising him? Am I thanking him? Am I worshiping him? Am I telling everyone about him and what he's done for me? Telling them how he changed my life totally and completely forever. Now, verse 5, we read, "And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." So here David is pronouncing publicly God's sovereign choice that Solomon will be the son who will build the temple. Verse 6, "Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father." So who chose Solomon? David? No, it was the Lord. "I have chosen him to be my son," God speaking, "and I will be his father." Verse 7, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if," notice there's a condition here, "if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgment as it is this day." Now, every time we read that, we say, yes, we understand that. You have to be obedient, Solomon, or it's not going to go well. Now, does that just apply to Solomon, or does that apply to you and to me as well? Absolutely, it applies to us. If we love him, we obey him. So if we don't obey him, means we don't love him. And we want to love him. We want to obey him, right? If. "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you what? May possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." Oh, mark that verse in your Bible, if you will, to a degree. How are you in following the Lord, and how is that inheritance being left for your children? I'm not talking about assets. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual position. I'm talking about godly life, storing up a godly inheritance for your children. But this is an important verse. This may be the most important verse in here for me tonight. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Now, there is so much in that verse. We could spend a week on that verse, really. That word know, that word means experientially, and it means great intimately knowledge. It means really knowing him. Now, that was David's prayer for his son Solomon. How about that prayer for your son and for your daughters and for yourself, obviously? Do you know God? Do you really know him? Do your children really know him? Do your grandchildren know him, if that's the case? And then, do you serve him? Do you serve God? And are you serving him with a perfect and complete, a loyal heart? And then, how is your mind? Is it willing? This word willing keeps coming up in here tonight in this section here. Willing, with a willing mind. He wants a willing mind. Do you have a willing mind and a willing heart? Very important. And then, are you praying? Because the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the hearts. If you seek him, or if you pray to him, if you pray to him, he will be found by you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So just think of those key words there: to know him, to serve him, to seek him. So important. So important. So make sure you check yourself out those various areas there. I wrote down what a powerful verse that is for us, or at least for me, and very powerful, I think, for us. Know God, serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. Seek him, for he will be found. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Lord, help me to really understand and do this. Verse 10, consider now the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So Solomon, go to work and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. He had it all drawn out, all the specs, the design, the engineering. And notice, it says, and the plans for all that he had, what? By the Spirit. These plans are from the Lord. Of the courts, of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. Wow. So the Lord, by his Spirit, gave this all to David, just as the Lord will guide and direct us in doing his will. Wow. Verse 13, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, God instructing the Spirit for that. For all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord, for everything. He gave gold by weight for things of gold and for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight for all articles used in every kind of service. 15 is interesting. The weight of the lampstands of gold. Now, nobody ever made those before. How do you know how much weight that is? God does. And their lamps of gold by weight for each lampstand and its lamps for the lampstands of silver by weight for the lampstands and its lamps according to the use of each lampstand. So David had all of that weighed out. Verse 16, and by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread for each table and tables for the table of silver, tables of silver, also pure gold for the forks, the basins, the pitchers of pure gold and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl, and refined gold by weight for the altar of incense and for the construction of the chariot. Interesting name given to the gold cherubim is what that means, I understand. Or, sir, for the construction of the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand. Notice, in writing, by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. I love it. I'll repeat again. Verse 19. All these plans, David said, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. Remind you of the Ten Commandments that God wrote out on the stone for us at the time of Moses. But here, God made him understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. So all come to me through the Spirit. Now, here's the challenge and here's the exhortation to his son, similar to what Joshua had. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you." That's true for you and for me. Underline that in your heart. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And I believe that fits us, not in the work of the service of the house of the Lord for necessarily, but the work that in the service that he gives us to do, each of us. So I put down, may that be indelibly stamped on my heart. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work. Now we'll have the offerings of, well, verse 21. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship for every kind of service. Also, the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command. So, Solomon, you're it. Take over, and all of these people will be there. Now, the last chapter for tonight, the last chapter of David's reign here, really. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God." Wow, this is big time. "Now, for the house of my God, I prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set." Notice this, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God," David speaking, "I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, my own special treasures of gold and silver." Now notice what David is going to give here. 3,000 talents of gold. Wow-wee. That's 100 plus tons of gold. 112 if we have the 75 pounds per talent, which most think it is. But 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, that's the finest, and 7,000 talents of silver to overlay the walls of the houses. Now that's 260 tons of silver. Think of that. And that's in a small building here called the temple. It's not in a huge, huge building. Amazing. The total worth of such precious metals has been estimated in the billions. It's billions and billions today for sure. Gold of Ophir, that was the finest gold in the world. So he set aside for the walls of the houses, verse 5, the gold things of gold and silver things of silver for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to, listen to this, consecrate himself this day to the Lord? So Solomon is calling for them to consecrate their life, to consecrate their service, their willingness to serve the Lord, that commitment. So, question I have for myself, maybe for you would have for yourself. Are we willing, or am I willing to live the rest of my life fully consecrated to Him, fully given over to Him? Easy to say yes, but will I? Well, I think with His help we will. Without His help we won't. Verse 6, then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands, of hundreds, with officers over the king's work, offered willingly. I love it. Willingly. Am I? Are you? Offering willingly. I wrote down, question for me, is there total willingness in my heart to give and to serve the Lord? Are there any traces of doing it out of pride or out of duty? Oh Lord, remove them if there are. But may I be totally willing to give and to serve you. So, verse 7, they gave for the work of the house of the Lord 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold. Now, these are the people. 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 of iron. Wow, their giving was that of double David's silver and almost double the gold. It's a huge, huge, huge offering. Huge offering. Verse 8, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jeiel the Gershonite. Again, one of those gatekeepers we talked about a while ago. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal or perfect heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Now, what do you think God felt, or how did he receive that? He always receives things offered willingly. It's going to be blessing upon blessing. It's just wonderful. It's glorious and joyful. And also we see King David rejoicing greatly. Now he's going to give this unbelievable prayer. This prayer is in the foyer of Chino Hills. I love it. First Chronicles 29. And here it begins with verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness." The King James is, "Thine is the greatness, but yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours." Wow. "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Now, what a man with words. Can you even come close to that? I can't even come close to that at all in my blessing of the Lord. "But blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you're exalted as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Isn't that beautiful? Oh, inscribe that on your heart. Verses 10 through 13 there. That's such a beautiful prayer. Verse 14, again, humility. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." It's like, whatever I have is from you, Lord. I give anything I give to you is giving back to you what you've given me. Verse 15, "For we are strangers and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Or it's easy for David to say now he's about to pass on. We can just say, "Lord, we're just passing through." A statement that Pastor Chuck would make from time to time is, you remember, only one life that soon will be passed. Only what we do for Jesus Christ will last. May that be first and foremost in our memory bank. "Don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and decay and thieves can break in and steal, but rather lay up treasures in heaven." Verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have offered willingly all these things, and now with joy I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." Oh, what a beautiful statement. Can't you just see and love David when he talks like this? Oh, my, praise like this. Verse 18, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you." Oh, what a beautiful prayer. Don't let them ever forget this day of blessing, this day of joy, this day of gladness, when they've discovered the joy of giving to God. Verse 19, "And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes to do all these things." Oh, how that prayer I want for me, and maybe you want for you, a loyal heart to be obedient, to keep the commandments, the testimonies, and the statutes, to do all these things, and to build the temple for which I've made provision. Now, Solomon did a good job building the temple, but then he turned from the Lord. So he did not keep this advice from Dad or from the Lord. The Lord said, "Don't get involved with all those women. They'll turn your heart away from me." But Solomon did anyway. And his heart did turn away from the Lord. Verse 20, "Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. They made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel." Now they're going to anoint Solomon the king the second time. Remember the first time they anointed him down in Gihon Springs. Now they're going to anoint him right up there, right at the eve of building the temple. So they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day, and they made Solomon the king, son of David, king the second time, and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader, and Zadok the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men and all the sons of King David submitted themselves to King Solomon. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty has not been on any king before him in Israel. Wow. The death of David. Verse 26. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. So he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. Now, a little footnote. Now, the acts of King David, first and last, indeed, they are written in the book of Samuel, the seer, and the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the events that happened to him, to Israel, and to all the kingdoms of the lands. Now, we obviously have, we just studied the book of Samuel. But the books of Nathan and Gad we do not have. But as we think of this, remember, David is such a man. We read in Acts 13:22, God speaking, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Wow. Isn't that amazing statement for to be said about anybody? God chose David to be king of all Israel, and you know what? He loved him. And he also chose you. And he chose me. And he loves us, demonstrating that on the cross of his precious son. So that's what counts. He chose you, he chose me, and he loves us. So may we not forget. Well, that brings us to the end of the study here in First Chronicles. We've talked about the emphasis on praise and worship. We talked about just talked about God chose me, God chose David, and God chose Solomon. And that powerful verse to know God and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. And the fact that be strong and good courage, may that be stamped on my heart. Am I willing to live the rest of my life fully consecrated to him? And then is there total willingness in my heart to give and to serve the Lord? Are there any traces of doing it out of pride or out of duty? Just great questions. Well, I wanted to close tonight with just thinking of majesty. You know, in verse 11, we just read, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. And I just thought of this praise song, Jack Hayford wrote it, I think, majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. So let's sing this together, if we might.
Glory, honor, and praise.
And we say hallelujah, do we not? Yes, Lord, we exalt your name. Majesty, majesty, you are majestic. Bless each one because they are yours, because they tune in tonight, because they want to please, want to be obedient to you. We want to serve you, Lord, with our whole heart. Help us, Lord. May your hand be upon them. May your hand be upon this nation, on our president, on the godly ones in government, the godly world leaders, and on the ungodly ones as well, that they might turn to you, that they might have you as their leader. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.